Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Have you ever been given good news that just turned your world upside down? Maybe it was that you were accepted to the college you wanted to attend. I remember that feeling when I opened my acceptance letter to TCU. Or that your favorite sports team had just acquired a fantastic new player who was going to take them to win the championship. If you're a Spurs fan, you might have felt this way when they acquired Kawhi Leonard. Or that someone you knew had been healed of a serious medical condition. And what did that good news leave you with? Comfort? Hope? Joy? I don't know about you, but I think the world could do with a little more comfort, hope, and joy. And the reason my world is turned upside down when I hear good news is because I hear so much bad news all the time. Think about it. We are constantly bombarded with bad news. War, famine, racism, terrorism, poverty, abuse, slander, lies, and greed, just to name a few. But how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Good news is what we are looking at today. This news is good with a capital G. It is the news of news about God's salvation. And its message comes to us with the fullness of imagery from the prophets. There are three different segments that present us with the comfort, joy, and hope of God's salvation. And I think it fitting if we look at these three different segments as three different musical chords one would play on the piano or the guitar. You see, this passage we're looking at from Isaiah this morning, like country music, presents us with three chords and the truth. Each chord builds upon the other, reaching an amazing climax of anticipation and longing for fulfillment. So if you'd like to follow along with the song these three chords are telling, we'll be beginning at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. But before we are given three chords and the truth, we are introduced to the composer and the musicians and the recipients. The composer is none other than the Lord God Almighty. And the imagery here is that of the heavenly court, of God's divine entourage. And this imagery is meant to propel our imaginations back in the biblical story to 1 Kings 22 and, probably more familiar to people, Isaiah 6, where Isaiah just happens to be before the throne of God and all the heavenly creatures are saying, "Holy, holy, holy." God has composed a message to a very specific audience, his people. But who will take the song to them? And here is where the musicians come into play. God sends his ambassadors to speak tenderly to his people. Comfort. Comfort my people, says the Lord. This is meant to provoke a response, one of love. Now, why is this important? Because God's people have been disciplined for their sins and rebellions against God. They have been punished twice over for their sins, meaning that they have endured quite a bit of correction. The consequences of their actions are over and done with. Now comes the tender embrace of God drawing close to his people, holding his people, assuring them that he loves them and is on the move. Imagine, if you will, a parent holding their child in their arms, comforting them after they have been disciplined and corrected. Now imagine further that the same parent continues to calm and comfort the child by singing in their ear. This is important to remember, that God is a very, very loving father. He loves his children. And sometimes that love means that he has to discipline them and correct them. But he also comforts, and he also assures them of his love. So we have the composer and we have the audience. Now we hear the first chord. And this first chord is the one chord, the chord that tells us what key we are playing in. It sets the tone. This chord is not quiet, it rings out. It cries out saying, "Clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland." What is the big idea here with the picture that the prophet gives us? He wants the people of God to know beyond any doubt that God is on his way. Nothing is going to hinder God from being with his people. No obstacles will be in the way. The procession will be straight. It will be even. It will be level. God will come to his people's side. He will come to their aid. A lot of you know that I'm a C.S. Lewis nut, but one of the great things expressed in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is the comfort, joy, and hope that Aslan brings. And what is it that they say as they are waiting for him to come? Aslan is on the move. Well, in our text from Isaiah, God's procession along the road would be familiar to the original audience. The road depicted in the text was a road reserved for the elite, for the bigwigs, for the VIPs. So the first chord has been played, and as it rings out, great news is announced. God is on his way. God is on the move. But very quickly, we come to the second chord. And this chord is the four chord, the subdominant chord. And it builds upon the first chord, building to a large crescendo. And when the chord is played, it releases a great shout. Shout! That people are like the grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. And it might be strange to think that the second chord is anything comforting or joyful. We're going to die? We're going to fade? But oh, it is comforting. Because this chord reveals how fragile our lives are, but that God's word, God's promises, are forever. How comforting to God's people. God will fulfill what he has spoken and decreed. He is not a man that he should lie. He is faithful and true. So we have the first chord telling us that God is on the way. And the intensity of the music builds now that we have heard the second chord, which tells us that God keeps his promises. His word endures forever. This is completely comforting. For we live in a world of broken promises. Broken promises all the time. Even the ones we love the most oftentimes don't live up to what they say. I remember when I moved down to South Central Texas from DFW, my dad told me that if I moved down here, that he would build a music studio for me on his property. And at that time, I was majoring in musical composition in hopes to be a TV and film composer. So I transferred down from TCU to TLU in Seguin, of all places. But in the end, there was no music studio built for me. Broken promises. People make promises all the time and they don't keep them. Not so with the Lord our God. What a relief to know his faithfulness endures always. Well, now we come to the last chord. The final chord is the five chord. This chord is the dominant chord because it leads us back home to where we originally started with the one chord. It is the climax because this chord contains the seventh of the scale that wishes to be resolved going back to the one of the scale. So good news is ringing out. It reaches the area surrounding Jerusalem and then it actually comes to Jerusalem. And what is the good news with this chord? God will rule with his powerful arm. Jerusalem is being reclaimed by God. This is a great comfort to a people who had just been disciplined and corrected for their sins and rebellions. God's mighty arm is a symbol of power, and when he comes, he brings his reward. But the imagery here is not just that of a mighty king coming to the aid of his people. It is also that of a shepherd coming to tend his own flock. And this shepherd king will carry his lambs in his arm, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. So the third chord has rung out, and as it echoes in our ears, we must discern the overall message of the three chords. We have heard the three chords, now we must hear the truth they tell. So again, to recap, the first chord tells us that God is on His way. The second chord progresses the music, reminding us that God keeps His promises. And the third chord speaks about the strong arm of the Lord, assuring us of the security that we have in His protection and of His unfailing, tender love. Three chords and the truth. And the truth is that the Lord comforts His people. This comfort is not that we come to Him, but rather that He comes to us. And when we take these three chords together in their context and progression, the message is that of comfort, hope, and of expectation of the Lord's coming to us. And when we put these three chords together, we get a hymn like this. One of the great themes of Advent is comfort. Comfort is coming because God is coming to His people in Jesus Christ. Jesus is on the move. The Lord keeps His promises. He comes to His people in great strength and great love. So we wait, therefore, with great expectation. For 800 years, from Isaiah's day to the day of John the Baptist, the people had to wait with eager longing. And when we encounter John in our gospel text today, we see that he ministers by saying, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandal." See, John is the forerunner of Jesus. He prepares the way of the Lord. His message is that of expectation, but above all, comfort. And how great a comfort is Jesus Christ, the one who took on human flesh for us, the one who lived his whole life in the shadow of the cross for us, who died and rose again for us, so that we could be free, so that we could be forgiven, so that we would be comforted. But we now live between the times. We live between the two advents of Jesus. Jesus has already visited our fragile world, this third rock from the sun. But He will return. His first visit comforts us in oh so many ways. We have been reconciled to God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been filled with the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus gives the title of what? The Comforter. Yes, we are already comforted by what Jesus has accomplished in His first visit to us. But yet, We still await the final comfort when he will return in great glory to judge the living and the dead, and his people will reign with him forever when he makes all things new, as we heard in 2 Peter. This hope for us is a great comfort. But what about those who don't yet know the comfort of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What about those who don't know the comfort that comes from knowing the three chords and the truth? And here is where we must turn to the topic of the joy of the kingdom of God. The joy of the kingdom of God. Some of you might think joy. I don't first and foremost think of joy when I think about God's kingdom. But oh, we must. To be God's representative, to be his agent in this world is a most joyful thing. And when people think of the great commission that Jesus gave, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, I think obligation or duty is what they think the majority of the time. But rather, as Leslie Newbegin reminds us, it should be joy. The news of the gospel is meant to go public, not remain in this little private corner of the world or in this little private area of our lives. It's meant to go public. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be contained. It produces joy that goes supernova. It explodes out of us. Can good news truly be contained? Can it? We've got good news. Indeed, the best news imaginable. It is a joy to show people, to faithfully and visibly present the comfort of Jesus Christ. And this means that we as the church are to be a comfort to people. We comfort by presenting the three chords and the truth. The first chord. Jesus is on the move. Here's what he's done. He died and rose again. Here's what he's doing now. He's at the right hand of God interceding. Here's what he's going to do. He will return in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. The second chord. The Lord keeps his promises. He is faithful forever. To know him is true peace. We can rest in his promises. They will come to pass. Until they do, we wait with eager hope and longing. The third chord. His powerful arm protects and tenderly cares for us. There is enough security and love to go around. God is not only our King who protects, but our Father who lavishes his unfailing love upon us. What a comfort! Joy, 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 unceasing, endless joy. The joy of the comfort that Jesus gives is meant to be given away. We know this joy. We experience this joy because we have been comforted. Our world greatly needs to be refreshed with the comfort of Jesus. So may each of our lives be songs that present these three chords, so that the world might know and experience the comfort of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fullness of joy that he brings. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in great love and compassion, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to come, live, die, and rise again, so that we might know the abounding riches of your mercy and grace. Grant, most merciful God, that we who have been comforted by your powerful arm may bring comfort to others with joyous hearts. Until you come again to make all things new, all this we ask in Jesus Christ, who lives with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.